Welcome back to Home Design Chat with Nancy, and I am your host, Nancy Hugo. If you're remodeling or building a new home, you came to the right place. Well, today is April 14th. Do you believe that we're almost into May? And of course, everybody knows that I'm recording in Arizona, and we are experiencing the most gorgeous weather. I feel sorry for those people around the country that have to put up with the snow and the hurricanes and the rain. So we don't. But then again, while you're enjoying your summers, we're baking. So I still enjoy Arizona, and I'm sure our guests would say the same thing. Gil Olachea, who is the owner of Ceramica in Scottsdale, is back with us. He's our resident tile expert. Hey, Gil, thanks for coming back and chatting with me today.
You're welcome, Nancy. Thank you for inviting me. I appreciate the offer to provide my thoughts, opinions, and experiences.
Well, do you agree with me that we have the most gorgeous weather right now?
Right now, it is Chamber of Commerce weather, yes.
Yes. And then in the summer, we kind of stay in. But some people don't. They go sit by their pool. But anyway, let's get back to subject at hand. We want to talk about tile trends for 2024. Everybody's always interested in trends. And even though we're in April, and of course you can spend the rest of the year tiling your house or remodeling, but we want to let you know what's in and what's out. Now, I will definitely mention that if you like what's out and you don't like what's in, it's your house. You do what you want to do. You pick out and install what you want because you're the one who's going to live in it. So let's start out with Gil. What do you think? What's out for 2024?
Just want to opine on that last comment of yours. You're absolutely correct, spot on. I deal with this constantly, day in, day out, week in, week out, with designers, homeowners, and consumers. And when they ask me what I think, if I like what they're choosing or selecting, and I say, look, my opinion doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. It's your home. You have to live with it. You have to go to bed at night with it and wake up in the morning with it. So whatever you like is what is important.
Totally agree, because when I do remodel, sometimes people will ask their neighbors or their relatives or some of the subcontractors, well, what do you think I should do? You know, they're just a drop in the bucket. You're going to live in your house and go with your gut feeling. If you like a certain color or a certain texture or a certain layout, go for it. I will advise, but I won't tell people what to do unless they do some horrendous mistake. And then I've just got to tell you, this isn't what you should do. But hey, bottom line, it's still your house. So do what you want to do. Hey, let's get started with what's out in tile.
Well, let's talk about backsplashes. And what's out for the most part are traditional mosaics like 1x1, 1x2, 2-inch, something that you might have seen really popular about 8+ years ago. Monochromatic schemes are also out. Glass that is still, I'm still seeing it in some applications, not really in the high end, but I do see it like in big box outlets that they're still pushing that type of a glass, linear look, either vertical or horizontal, black and white, a little bit of color, not much, but what is an exception is anything that's unusual color, unusual texture, something that might be unique, and even really colorful type of glass mosaics are working out. And still popular with me and my clientele, and my clientele for the most part is 100% designers and architects. What's also out is one-piece type of panels. Think the old wood paneling type of products of yesteryear. That type of glass is out. It used to be really popular because it gave you the opportunity to create a feature wall or a feature focal point. And in many cases, you could also backlight it. And that really has gone out. I have seen through my experience in my showroom with my clients that there is really no demand for it, and they're not pushing it onto their clientele, the homeowners.
Oh, I think, Gil, more and more people are starting to go for the minimalistic or the clean look, something that's overdone, or if you want to go with a busy backsplash, that's passé, unless you are that type of maximus person and you like busy. But everybody's going towards the lighter, the simpler looks, and I'm sure you find that in the tile selections, too.
True, yes. In fact, I'm skipping ahead just a little bit. We're going to talk about floors, but I'm finding that the more younger and younger being like 45 years of age and younger homeowners, they are really gravitating towards a stained finished concrete look. We'll talk a little bit more about that later, but I really was impressed to see how much that has become attractive, as well as with today's technology and products.
Well, you want to talk about concrete later, because I have a comment about that.
Well, let's skip around.
Okay. I do like the concrete look. Sometimes, depending on who installs it, who your subcontractor is, your concrete guy, you may not be happy with the finished product. But we did a project, Gil, if you remember those very large format gray tiles that had very small grout lines. They were really tight grout lines. And when you look at it, and this was a big room, it looked like concrete. And that particular tile, was that a, I think that was a...
That was porcelain.
Was it porcelain? And it was 48, was it 24 by 48?
I think it was 24 by 48, yes.
Yeah. It was beautiful. If you get the right installer and you look across the room, you'd swear that was concrete. And I kind of lean towards that more so than the actual concrete. But that's just me.
You know, today there is some wonderful tiles that are porcelain that do emulate a finished concrete look in various colors as well. And they're just gorgeous. So it's actually a much less expensive proposition than staining or finishing a true actual concrete slab. Speaking of that a bit more, though, I've seen some very high-end luxury homes where the concrete was mixed with gem-like stones and glass. Mm-hmm. And then once it cured, it was honed to reveal the gem-like stones and or glass. Gorgeous outcome, but very expensive.
Yeah. You know, everything gorgeous is expensive. I hate to say that. Right?
Yes.
But when you have a concrete floor, no matter if you have it honed, if you have gems in it, if somebody was to drop something and chip it, you can't fix it. It's not repairable, as far as I know.
It can be repaired. There are some experts out there that actually specialize in that, even whether it's concrete, stone, porcelain. They actually do such a great job with it that the only person that would know where to look would be the homeowner.
Okay, so for you guys out there who like concrete, before you have it installed, find out who would repair it when something happens.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I think that's always a good idea. Okay, so in backsplash is going back to that. What are you seeing as the most popular?
Still, there's glass, but it's a mixture of glass, unusual materials, unique materials, metals, ceramics, stones. The materials themselves are not as important as it is how it's actually comprised or put together. And it can be either single mono layer or it can be a mosaic. But it, again, back to what we spoke about earlier at the top of this podcast, if the homeowner doesn't like it, doesn't matter what the material is or what the unusual uniqueness of those uniqueness or the unusual properties are of that material. What I'm finding, though, is that I have clients, again, designers, that are gravitating towards very unusual patterns using traditional formats like herringbone and chevrons. However, what they're doing is they're using two or more sizes of elements in that pattern to give it a very unusual look or outcome. In addition to that would be if they're using one or two different size of tiles and they want to go with traditional soldier stack or a running bond, they will use an offset that's less than 50%. Gives it a very unique outcome and is one of those features where you look at it and say, wow, that's really unusual. I didn't expect to see that. And that's something that could be used with traditional tile sizes like 3x6 or 4x8 or even longer rectangular formats.
Yeah, that's a good shout out for people to, if they want something unusual, to get a designer, right?
Yes.
You know, there was something I was going to say and I forgot. So let's continue talking and it'll come back to me.
Well, speaking of what's in, continuing with that, onyx is making a resurgence. It was really a material that was really popular probably 12, 15 years ago and then just died off. And I've been seeing many of my vendors and manufacturers introduce that once again, and that's the natural product. There is, however, some porcelain manufacturers that are emulating that stone, and they do an excellent job by copying the onyx and putting it into a porcelain format. So the porcelain is going to be your value added, your value product versus the natural stone. But I am seeing that there is a demand for that, both at the designer and homeowner level.
Mm-hmm. What I was going to mention, and that's in, you know, talking about design, I do like the idea, and I've done this before, of instead of just stopping the backsplash, and you know, there's an article I was reading, where do you stop the backsplash? I like the idea of going to the ceiling, wrapping the windows. You don't want to just stop your backsplash where the cabinet stops, because 9 out of 10 times your countertop is overhanging your cabinetry by an inch and a quarter. Sometimes you can cut it down to 3/4 of an inch, depending on your edge. But then nothing lines up. Your backsplash ends with the wall cabinet, and then your countertop is going past that. And then your wall cabinet should line up with your base cabinet. But there's a lot of ifs and lining up, and what if this goes wrong? And so I do like the idea of just bringing it up to the ceiling. Now, if you have a 14-foot ceiling, what you could do is stop it by using crown mold, if that's what you're using, and bringing the tile up to the crown mold that's, say, over the window. There's got to be a stopping point, and it's got to look good. It can't just stop abruptly. I've seen pictures where backsplashes go beyond the countertop, and they're hanging in the air. You know, so think about your backsplash and how your designer or your tile installer is going to end it.
Yeah, interesting point. I've seen applications, I've actually seen physical installations where the backsplash tile behind the cooktop is on the wall and it ends at the very bottom of the vent or the exhaust hood. But above the exhaust hood, there's no cabinetry. It's just a like a pipe. I'm going to use that term, pipe.
Yeah,
a vent that stack. goes right on into the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks rather abrupt, that the termination of that tile was just, there was an afterthought, and it doesn't appear very finished at all. So I would absolutely agree, when you have circumstances like that, it's a great idea. It's a nice finish to just continue to go to the ceiling.
Yeah. Now, like I said, if you have that vent stack, you should definitely have tile on both sides of it. You actually should have tile behind it. So that's more of a continuous look instead of stopping abruptly. But then if you say, okay, where am I going to stop it with the vent stack? Typically, your vent stack, you can stop at the top of the cabinets and then continue the crown mold right across there. Those are ideas that your designer has to come up with, because each one is unique. But that will make or break your installation of tile. And you, after spending your time and money on your tile, you certainly want it to look good. So, Gil, there's one thing I wanted to talk about, and that's Delft tiles. I looked that up because here in Arizona, we were talking about that off air. We don't find Delft tiles here. They're for farmhouse kitchens. They came from the Netherlands originally, and they're blue and white. They're so cute, but they don't have a home here in Arizona. But I'm sure there are places in, like you said, Gil, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, farm areas, cozy areas where you can use this Delft tile. I do like it, but it doesn't have a place here in Arizona.
Yeah, the majority of Delft tiles usually have something that's been screened on or hand painted, and it could be either some farm animal, goats,
a windmill,
chickens,
maybe.
Could be a windmill, could be some implement, it could be something. And it takes the person back to some something like a farm experience or some ranch outset, and that's just something that's not popular out here in the Southwest.
You know, years ago, I really did like these tiles. They were textured tiles. They would have fruits on them. Not that I ever specified them, but looking at them, you know, it's a work of art. It's so pretty. But there was no place for it. So there are a lot of tiles that you just can't use. You know, that's the way it is. Things come and go.
But that look, the Delft look, has been has been forever popular in specific regions of the United States. Yeah. And as you mentioned, like upstate New York, upstate Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, upstate North Dakota, in Idaho, places like that. It's been
Every place but Arizona, right?
Every place but Arizona and very few places on the West Coast.
Yeah, that's true. Last week, my guest was the rep for Monogram, and he visited KBiz, and we were talking about the new appliances. So Monogram has come out with some really new, great appliances. The induction range comes in 30 and 36 inch. They're all smart appliances. Also, they've come out with some new refrigeration shapes and sizes. So if you're in the market for new appliances, if you're remodeling, or if your old appliances just, you know, bit the dust, it's time to replace. I suggest that you go to monogram.com and check out those appliances and visit your showrooms. And possibly if they have any working appliances, try them out. Monogram is also a, they also have smart HQ apps where you can run your appliances from different parts from your phone. Now, a lot of people don't like to use their phone. They don't like to pile on the apps. And if you don't want to do that, you can still have smart appliances. They're upgraded from the factory. They're constantly adding recipes. Great appliances. I love Monogram, and it's made in America. So monogram.com, that's where you can find those appliances. Gil, what's next?
Floors. Floors. And what's interesting is I deal quite a bit with floor type materials in addition to wall and others. But what I'm finding is that many of the stone, traditional stone materials that were really popular a decade plus ago, such as travertine, is just really out. The only genre that is driving travertine still are a more mature homeowner that loved it when they were much younger or in a place where they lived. They want to continue that look in their present home. Our newer homeowners, and that's predominantly 30, 35 years of age and younger, they are not liking or gravitating or embracing travertine whatsoever. Even some of the old classic marbles are being overlooked and turning the noses up at it then being replaced with porcelains. There are a couple of really good holdouts, however, when it comes to classic stones, and that's Carrara. Carrara has always been for millennia popular. And there's also Calacatta and a Monet. Those three stones are Italian as you can possibly get. And they were popular millennia ago, and they are today, and they will be again in the future.
I put them in the column with white cabinets, kitchen cabinets. They'll never go out of style, but yet you'll find some designers who'll say, it's out of style. White is going to go away. It's never going to go away, and we're never going to get rid of the Carrara, the Calacatta. Those are timeless. So whereas the travertine, I have to say, that looked best with the Tuscan or Old World look. And I think people are getting tired of that. Like I said before, they're more into the contemporary, clean, minimalistic look. And the Carrara, believe it or not, fits right in with that design. What is now good besides the newer marbles? I know we just worked on... We used the Calacatta it was real stone, wasn't it?
No, the sachet was a porcelain that looks just like the real stone.
It looked exactly like the real stone.
And you brought your homeowners, your client, into the showroom, and I showed them the real product, which was running about $85 to $100 a square foot, versus the porcelain version manufactured in Australia, and it was running just under $20 a square foot, and they could not tell the difference.
Well, while we're talking about that, let's talk about the pros and cons of using real marble on your floor.
Yeah, that's actually a very important point to bring up. Any natural product is going to require some maintenance, and it's going to require higher maintenance. Stone, being a natural product, will absorb a number of liquids and other things that could stain it. It doesn't do very well when it comes to anything acidic, like lemons and limes and even, believe it or not, Windex. So with stone, you want to seal it. And the sealant is not something that is absolute. In other words, it will not prevent any staining or absorption. It just slows it down a little bit so that it gives you time to wipe it up and take care of some preventative measures to avoid a stain. So with stone, it's not a matter of if, you will end up with maintenance. And if you don't, then you're going to end up with a disaster sometime in the future. And that could be a food spill. It could be a liquid spill. Red wine is just disastrous when it comes to most marbles and limestones and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Sealing is always recommended. And if you use your kitchen or master bath or anywhere where there is that natural product, if you use it frequently, the sealing regimen is definitely going to be put into place. With porcelain, however, it does not absorb. It is a fired vitreous type of product, which means it greatly resists any types of liquids, food products, things of that nature, even oils and greases. You can come back 2 days later after having spilled red wine on a porcelain and wipe it up with a paper towel and have no residual effect whatsoever. I offer that to most of my clients and say, you've got a choice. You can take the natural product if you're just really a purist and you want the natural product, or you can take this porcelain type product or a ceramic. And here are the pros and cons, and we'll go through the same type of thing as what we and I are discussing at this moment. And invariably, what I'm seeing is about 60% of the choices are porcelain, and the remaining balance are still with the natural product because they just like that warmth.
Yeah. And don't forget, people, the marble product is very soft, whereas your porcelain is a harder product. So you're going to end up chipping it. That first chip really does bother you. But then after that, you have to accept the fact that marble is beautiful. It's a natural product, but it is soft and it is going to be damaged. So let me talk real quick about Kohler products. Kohler, again at KBiz, introduced a lot of their new beautiful fixtures. Studio 41 is a Kohler showroom. They carry everything that Kohler makes, everything that they've introduced in the 2024 year at KBiz. So if you're lucky enough to live in Illinois or the Scottsdale area, you can visit their showrooms. It's Studio 41. But if you don't, you can shop online. Their website is shopstudio41.com. I suggest you check in there for all of your plumbing needs, kitchen and bath. They also have cabinetry. And in Illinois, they have windows and tile. But as I say, every week I go in there and I just marvel at the selection of cabinet hardware. Best in the valley, and I'm sure in Illinois they carry the best. So check them out. Get online if you don't live near one of these showrooms. shopstudio41.com. Okay. I like porcelain for a floor. I think it's going to last forever. I was not a big proponent of travertine, but that's what we had every time somebody wanted Tuscan, and it seemed to ride the waves in, I think it was the 90s. Everything was Tuscan. Now when you look at it, I go into Zillow and I look at some of these houses and you think, oh, wow, remember that? It's dated. Sorry about that for the people who still want travertine. But, Gil, they do have travertine and porcelain, right?
Still being produced, yeah.
Yes, because the real travertine is, it's higher maintenance and it's more expensive to lay. And it's a natural product, that's true, but you can get that same look in the porcelain. So,
but it's still popular with entry and mid-level homes and big boxes. Big box mm-hmm. retail outlet centers still sell quite a bit of it. Here at Ceramica, we don't. My clientele, as I mentioned, is more on the trades professional side, they know that for the most part, it's not something that they're going to push onto the clients unless the client specifies it or requests it specifically.
Yeah. The one thing I didn't like about the travertine, and I know they still have that, they mix the light and dark travertine, the noche and the travertine. So when you look at it, it looks spotty. I mean, to put it bluntly, it's not a smooth, clean look like we've been talking about with the today's tiles.
Very interesting point. That look that you're talking about is something that became popular here in the United States because it was marketed as such. If you went to Europe, especially like in Spain, Portugal, and Italy, you don't have that. And the reason is that they did not tolerate that, the shade difference or variances. So all the material that was left over was shipped over to the United States, and through a volley of marketing and sales accents, the market was flooded with that type of product, and then we called it a natural stone look. Then that they used the shade variation and color and even sometimes texture. So this is the natural look that you get, and it's sourced from Europe. They sourced mm-hmm. from Italy. Well, yeah, the stone came in from Italy, but that's not the look that they accepted there. It was rejected. And so the seconds, thirds were sent to the United States, and we bought into it.
Yeah. And don't forget, the travertine a lot of times is unfilled, so you have to fill it with the grout that you're using. Okay, let's talk walls. You know, the new thing is putting textures on walls, whether it's wood or whether it's tile or even wallpaper, and we will talk about that at another time. But let's talk about walls. What's in and what's out?
What's out is something that I really liked in the past. It's called a split-faced stone. It was a natural product, and it was just a stone that actually was cut in half or split, not really cut with a saw, but just like with a chisel type of effect. That's really out, with some exceptions. And it could be, those exceptions could be hinged on either the material type or the color or look. Onyx, it always makes for a beautiful split-faced mosaic or split-faced large format tile, like a large format for the wall. And it's like 4 inches by 8 inches or 6 inches by 12 inches. Colorful granites make up a beautiful split-faced look as well. However, having said that, designers are still gravitating towards that because they understand what it looks like with texture and color and uniqueness. But there's some homeowners that just say, nope, I don't want, they turn their nose up at it, and vice versa. There are homeowners who say, I want that. And designers will say, nah, it's not really a look that's something that's going to go well with the rest of the house.
Well, you know, if you're a homeowner and you decide you like something, like Gil and I said, stick to your guns. I happen to like white quartz split face tile on a fireplace. I think it's gorgeous. Somebody else might say, no, I don't like that. I don't. Well, fine. It's your house. If I was doing it in my house, that's what I would use. Okay.
Now, yeah, something else that's out was really, really popular and has been dropping off in popularity over the past several years is what's called book matched slabs. And for those that don't know what that is, it basically, if you take a large stone slab, and large being somewhere like about 5 to 6 feet in one length and 4 to 5 feet in the opposite direction, and you cut it right in half in the lengthwise direction, and then you open them up, you have two matching opposing or mirror imaged slabs. And that was something really popular and was placed on walls to give you a very unique, ostensibly beautiful look. But it's being replaced with other things, such as what Nancy just mentioned, and that's wallpaper, fabrics, and paint.
Yeah, and a lot of times wood pieces, or that's getting to be really popular. I will be going to a design show the end of the month, and I'll kind of figure out what I like and what I don't like, and then talk about it in the next couple of weeks. But the plain, bare, flat wall, I think people are starting to want more than that. You know, there's such a thing as your blank canvas, and then you can use artwork or not. But I happen to like not the busy look, but the interesting look on your walls. So do you think that the large format tile, say 48 by 48, would be good for a wall?
Yes, definitely. And there's lots of different solutions and different products out in the marketplace from which to choose. You can use it on the floors. You can use it on walls. You just need to have the appropriate size room to accept it. In a wall, it's not going to be much of a problem because you can have a very minimal grout joint and it will look like it's just a single piece.
What about shower walls?
It's ideal. The less grout joints that you can introduce into a wet surface, like a shower, the less likely that you're going to have any penetration of that water, that liquid, into behind the wall, where what happens is that you'll end up with mildew or mold and it becomes an issue.
Yeah. So people today like gorgeous stuff with no maintenance. I'm with that. I don't think God put us on this earth to spend too much time cleaning our house, right?
Yes.
Is there anything else? Did we miss anything?
Something that's become very popular over the last few years is a product called Luxury Vinyl Tile, also known as LVT. And for those that don't understand what that means, just think linoleum. Think a more glorified level of linoleum. It looks great. You can get looks at our stone, wood. The real attractive thing about it, it's got really low price points. So the value regarding that particular product is really high. Generally, it comes in a plank format. About 3-4 years ago, it began to be like an 18-inch length plank. Now they're greater than 5 feet. And again, as I mentioned, they look just like a stone or wood. They're not really making themselves known and popular in the high-end or luxury home marketplace. Most of the people in that genre, in that particular end, they want the real product. They don't want something that looks like wood.
Yeah. The vinyl planks are being used a lot in people who are flipping houses or in the mid-priced. And it looks very good. Maintenance is pretty good, pretty low. I think that's it. I think we've covered just about everything that's new for 2024, although, Gil, you probably come back around September so we can talk about what people really use in 2024, because then we will have experienced 9 months of, you know, putting this stuff in the remodels or the new homes.
Right. We'll be able to look in the rearview mirror and see what really transpired.
Yeah, I like that. It's like, okay, let's criticize what people thought was a trend. I did forget to tell people that, Gil, you own Ceramica, but you are not open to the public. You are wholesale only. So if you guys out there are interested in what Gil has to offer, you have to go through your designer, or you can mention my name. He might let you in the door. I'm not sure. Right?
In difference to you, I would, yes.
So this was a fun podcast, and we tried to cover everything that was in and out for 2024 for tile. My time goes quickly. Gil, thank you so much for joining me with this.
It was a pleasure, Nancy. Thank you.
As usual. I hope everybody enjoyed today's show. And please subscribe in the platform that you're using to listen to these podcasts. I know that Google doesn't have podcasts anymore. Too bad. Goodbye, Google. But go on Spotify, iHeartRadio, et cetera, et cetera. They're all over the place. Don't forget to share them with your friends. As I say every week, this is an educational podcast, and why not share them with your friends, especially if they are doing remodels and they don't know too much about product. If you want to learn more about me, you can visit my website, nancyhugo.com. I've got a lot of pictures on there, videos, et cetera, et cetera. And if you have any questions for me or for Gil about tile, email me at nancy@nancyhugo.com. In the meantime, Gil, have a great day and enjoy the rest of your day. And I know I'll be seeing you next week sometime. And if anybody, again, has any questions, please don't hesitate. You can even call me because my phone number is all over, which I shouldn't have, but I do. Everybody stay safe. Have a great day. Gil, again, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye now.